Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
You know what? Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know what shouldn't have come before. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Just to wrap this discussion up, we were talking about, you didn't hear the program, Steve, but last hour we were talking about events that the whole nation watched and or paid attention to. Obviously,
9/11.
Right, okay. Right. And I mentioned in the world of entertainment, obviously not on the same plane as these other more serious events, but you had Aloha from Hawaii,
yes,
with Elvis Presley. It, yes, almost the whole nation watched that. But I didn't. I was looking at the Wikipedia about that day because I remember when that happened, and they're saying that the Wikipedia you can trust, right?
Every time,
huh? Anyway, they're saying that that event that with Elvis was broadcast live via satellite on January 14th, 1973. But NBC did not broadcast it, and they broadcast an edited version of the concert on April 4th, like 3 months later, because the live concert took place the same day as the Super Bowl. And I guess NBC had the Super Bowl, or they didn't want to compete with whatever other network,
yeah,
had the Super Bowl. So... anyway, just one. It says. Anyway, just FYI there. So,
I started to look. It was just too long to read through it. I think what you're thinking about, Tim, too, is worldwide broadcasts of things like the Beatles when they came over to America or something like that.
The Beatles did that satellite thing of "All You Need Is Love." That was in 1967.
Okay.
Was that live?
Yes.
And was it international?
Yes.
Okay, on satellite then?
Yes.
Okay, I did not realize
that. I don't know if it was the first, but it
yeah,
seemed to be.
Well, this talking about Elvis Presley, this talking about the live Aloha from Hawaii, this says despite the satellite innovation. So it makes, and it was shown live to 40 countries.
Yeah.
So while we didn't see it live here in the U.S., it was shown live to 40 countries. That was about the time that satellite started becoming.
Yeah.
And as long as we're setting things straight, may I interject on something that happened last hour as well? I was sitting here and hearing you guys discuss with Robert Jeffress and whether Fido is going to be in heaven or not. And I want to thank you, Ed, for bringing that up and dashing,
yes,
the dreams and hopes of all our young people.
I did not. Pastor Jeffress did.
Well,
he dashed him?
Well,
yes.
No, you brought it up. He's the one that answered,
yes,
it. My dad is a longtime pastor, a student of the Bible, and he had the perfect answer to that because I lost a dog when I was young, and I asked him if Queenie was going to be in heaven. And my dad said, God will provide everything you need in heaven to be happy. If you need Queenie in heaven to be happy, then Queenie will be there. I probably knew full well by the time I get to heaven and sitting at the feet of Jesus, my Savior, who gave himself up for me, that I probably won't be thinking about my dog.
Right.
But I thought that was a fine answer.
Now,
it
I
is
just
fine
have
answer
to ask, where did the name Queenie come from?
I don't know. It's just what I named my dog. It's a black dog.
I hope it wasn't a boy.
No, it's a girl.
Okay.
It was a black dog, and her tail would go around in the back like it looked like a propeller when she'd wag it. It would go around in circles.
Queenie's tail.
And Queenie had a litter, and we kept one of the litter, and it was a boy dog, and I named him Prince.
Yeah.
I got to say,
two dogs in Madagascar.
As far as content goes, this,
yes,
has been one of our weaker shows.
No.
Well,
I just, listen, it's my job as a newsman to make the record, to get facts.
Yeah, to set,
yes,
the record straight.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So you guys bring up the stuff. I just have to, you know,
right,
keep you all in line.
Hey, we did have two congressional special election races in North Carolina last night, right?
We had one. Do we have two?
We're getting to that an hour later. Go ahead. We had two, right?
Well, I know of one. If
no,
we had
two,
I'm not that familiar with the
there
other
was,
one.
There were two.
All right. Well, I know Dan McCready lost in North Carolina. This was the election that was held. Do you remember back in 2018, the Republican won there? He was a pastor who was running on a very conservative platform. He won narrowly, and then they brought up some some different accusations of illegitimacy in the voting and such, and they had to redo the whole thing. The pastor, and I'm looking for the story. I thought I printed it out, but maybe I left it over there. The pastor withdrew and never ran again, but then another gentleman won or ran, and he just won. And it said that President Trump, he had a rally in North Carolina just, well, it would have been two nights ago now, right? The night before the election.
Right.
And he turned the tide. This was Dan Bishop in North Carolina who was the second candidate to run finally for the ninth district seat there. And even the Democrats are admitting that President Trump showing up in North Carolina on Monday night probably turned the tide, because he was way behind, double digits behind like 10 weeks ago, and really had only been in the race for 6 months and really hadn't started dumping money into the race until later in the contest. But he did pull out a fairly narrow, I think about a 4-point victory in North Carolina there. So that's the one I know about. What was the other one?
The other one was 3rd District, another Republican House candidate, Greg Murphy, won a separate special election. Now, that's, I think, a more GOP-leaning district.
Okay.
Right. That was a blowout.
Yeah, but Democrats spent millions trying to pick up one of those two seats in North Carolina to put forth the narrative that President Trump is going to hurt the Republicans.
I know the one was talked about as a bellwether, and
yes,
maybe it is. I just don't see how anybody can say anything with confidence after 2016.
Right, and the fact of the matter is now no one on the Democratic side is going to say, yeah, that's a bellwether, because the result was not what they wanted.
Right. And they were saying it before. They've gone strangely quiet.
Yes, that's right. So two big wins for President Trump.
Yes.
In North Carolina.
In the GOP.
Yep.
I wonder how many votes separate the GOP and the Democrats in the House of Representatives now. Is it like 20, 25? You know what the score is?
I will look that up.
Look that up for us, because I'm just curious. Because that means everything. If you can gain control of the House of Representatives, you know how the chairmanships go to that party, and so certainly the Republicans are hoping to win that back next year.
It is 235 for Democrats, 199 for Republicans, one independent.
So 36 roughly.
Right.
Okay. That's
of course 435 members in the House.
In the House
total.
All right, Steve. Next story.
I want to talk about some media stuff. It's kind of what I concentrate on across the street. And the other day, CNN had a story. And it was about a deeply embedded spy that was in Russia, a mole, as it were. And it's like something out of a Tom Clancy thriller. It really was. They had molded this guy and seen him over the years climbing government. And finally, he was at a place where he was, this spy was at a high level in the Kremlin and privy to a lot of internal discussions that included Putin himself. And so he was feeding information back to the U.S. government, and they had decided, because of one thing or another, and they're being very kind of cryptic about what they knew, because they don't want to blow this guy's cover, but that they were going to pull him out. And CNN decided to lead with the fact, what they said, is that Trump had been so careless with classified information and just kind of spouting off things he didn't know about or whatever, that President Trump kind of outed this secret spy in Russia and put his life in danger. And so now they're scrambling to get this guy out so that Trump doesn't kill him. That was CNN's narrative. Very quickly, the CIA came out and said, no, 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 we were trying to pull this guy out years ago before President Trump was even in office under Obama's tenure. And the New York Times, of all people, came out and said CNN was wrong and that it wasn't President Trump that did this at all. I talked with Kyle Drennan from Media Research Center yesterday about this, and this is what he had to say. Cut 8.
How many times have we been through this now in the Trump administration where the media come out with some story and they hype it like crazy, and then within hours it's disproven or it's found to be wildly inaccurate? Bias has always been a problem going back decades. But under Trump, the media obsession with trying to take him down has gotten so bad that it's not just that they're biased, it's that they are getting basic facts wrong.
Does it say anything to you that actually the New York Times is the one that's kind of refuting the CNN?
At the end of the day, all these media outlets are still competitors. And so you can scoop one of your competitors or get facts that they may have missed. They still want to do that.
Well, listen, we knock the New York Times when they do something boneheaded, like the tweet about 9/11. We talked about that at the beginning of the first hour.
Right.
So we want to give them a pat on the back when they do something right. And they, I guess, like, who is this from MRC?
His name is Kyle Drennan. He's
Kyle Drennan.
He
makes
analysts.
A very good point that at the end of the day, they do compete. They are competitors, even though they're in different mediums.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the New York Times, did we mention last hour, I've forgotten whether we did or not, that the New York Times did change their tweet?
Yes.
Did they change it or just
They pulled it.
They pulled it.
Yeah. I knew they had a tweet that said that planes directed themselves took aim at the towers.
Here's what, if you missed our last hour, here's what the New York Times tweeted this morning about 9/11. They say 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Today, families once again gather and grieve at the site where more than 2,000 people died. They immediately did, the New York Times, just get a lot of backlash because of the they're just obviously trying not to say anything about Muslims connected to 9/11, and it was Muslim terrorists who commandeered those planes, but I got to give them an A for creativity.
Yes,
because whoever tweeted on behalf of the New York Times had to go, maybe get their little group together and go, guys, how can we say what happened 18 years ago without bringing up who hijacked the airplanes? I tell you what, say this, write this down.
Yeah.
Write this down. Airplanes, somebody help me here. Took aim. Airplanes took aim. What else do you want? Took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Got it.
Right.
I'm going to put this out.
It was plane, airplane violence.
Somebody said if this would happen in 1941, I was reading a comment by somebody about this. They said and the New York Times would have tweeted at the time. They'd have said, on December the 7th, 1941, airplanes took aim and seriously damaged the United States naval base at Pearl Harbor.
And not mention that they were
Japanese
planes. Right. That's a good point.
To kind of piggyback on that, the New York Times had an op-ed today. They decided to run an editorial from a Muslim man who was in the editorial saying how much his life had changed since 9/11 and that he was now kind of the target of some racist stuff and that the United States was fooled into going to war by on purpose by President Bush and how it's terrible that we've been at war. So it just kind of goes along with the trope. And I know you read that op-ed this morning, and it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but still I found it kind of offensive that today they would choose that voice to put in their paper.
Here's what the New York Times changed their tweet to say now. It says 18 years have passed since terrorists commandeered airplanes to take aim at the World Trade Center and bring them down, end of quote. Terrorist is is a generic word that the media also uses so they don't have to say Muslim or Islamic or jihads.
Yeah.
Jihadis. It may be the only group that is afforded such. That is to say, yes, they were terrorists, but the terrorist had an ideology, right? But the New York Times does not want to admit that the terrorist had an ideology based on the religion of Islam. Granted, not all Muslims subscribe to that ideology,
right,
that particular ideology of jihad, but there is a significant percentage, obviously, of Muslims who do subscribe to Islamic jihad. That is, you can kill the infidel, you know. But if you can just say terrorist, then you don't have to define an ideology or talk about it, right?
Well, as many people have noted, since 9/11, and we've had to combat the political correctness that we're still addressing, terrorism is a strategy. It's not...
Blitzkrieg?
Huh?
Like what was it?
Like Blitzkrieg.
Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, so terrorism is a strategy or a tactic in service of an ideology, and if you don't want to talk about the ideology, then you're really...
Why wouldn't you, though?
Well,
if this were, for example, as I mentioned earlier, again, just pointing out the double standard and hypocrisy in the media on this issue, if somebody commits an act like in El Paso, for example, where they're motivated by white supremacy or white nationalism, whatever you want to call that.
Right.
Although the word nationalism is a good word that's been perverted now.
Yeah.
I understand that nationalism means you're proud of your country.
Right.
That's what I've always thought it to mean. That's what it has already been traditionally, but now it's been turned into a dirty word by the media. But just for argument's sake, let's just say that the El Paso, no, it was proven that the El Paso murderer that gunned down all those people, he was motivated by, he had an anti, he's either anti-Hispanic or anti-immigrant. I don't know which.
Well,
he was a white supremacist.
Yeah, he hated Mexicans. He was targeting Mexicans.
Okay.
He was targeting them, though, because he believed they were destroying the environment. And he was also against big corporations.
Coming to the guy in El Paso.
Yes.
All right. So then, if the media were to be true to their how they handle Muslim terrorists, where they don't call them that, they just call them terrorists, like the New York Times has done right here. 9/11, we were attacked by terrorists. That's what the New York Times is saying here. As Ed said, that's a strategy. That doesn't define the ideology. Then you would say about the El Paso shooter, a terrorist today shot up the Walmart and killed
a
mass shooter, without saying that he's a white nationalist or a white supremacist.
Right.
You would leave that out of it, because why? You certainly wouldn't want to smear all white people, right? So we avoid talking about Islamic jihad, which was behind 9/11, because we don't want to hurt the feelings or unfairly smear all Muslims. That's what they tell us, right? That's the reason we do. That if you were asking New York Times that they would say that's the reason we don't mention who they were. But if it's a white supremacist, they mention it every four words.
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
They don't leave the... And let me just say this. I think it's necessary. I don't care what, even if somebody were motivated by a distorted Bible verse out there and did something, or distorted a Bible verse to use to kill somebody. For example, if that were to happen, as a Christian, I would not have a problem with the news media reporting what motivated this person to do these kinds of horrible things, because I want to know. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I obviously am a white person. I don't have a problem with the media reporting that it's a white supremacy ideology that was behind El Paso.
Right.
Because I think the world needs to know, what was this guy thinking, what motivated him, and is this a more serious problem across the country than
right.
we realize? That's what. But when it comes to Islam, comes to Muslims, we pretend that there's no motivation associated with the faith. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's because...
and then you can answer that, Steve.
This is going to sound like I'm defending them. I'm not.
No,
they believe that if you throw the word Muslim terrorist in there, you're going to invite people to attack all Muslims, and not all Muslims were involved
in
the attack.
Okay, then, if that is true, if you accept that and say, okay, I understand, then why wouldn't you? Why would you say white supremacist attacks in El Paso? Why wouldn't you take the same approach? We don't want to offend all white people.
Right.
We don't want to smear all white people or have white people attacked because...
Because now you're entering into the realm of worldview and narrative, and the worldview of the left, those who are mostly, for the most
control
part,
the media,
in control the media, their narrative or their worldview is that Muslims are part of the oppressed peoples of the world. White people are part of the oppressors, so we want to protect the oppressed / Muslims, and we want to criticize the oppressors, which are white people.
That's your guess. Your best guess, educated guess. So it would be, so the reporting of the news then in that case would be politically, there's a political motivation for them doing what they do.
Yes. Otherwise, it makes no sense, like you're saying. It makes no sense to leave off Muslim terrorist and include white supremacist terrorist.
There is a word that they use that is not Muslim. It's Islamist.
Yes.
And that has become
jihadi.
But those words have become the lexicon for radicalized Muslims who take violence as an answer to political problems, terrorists.
Right.
And they reserve Muslims for talking about people who attend a mosque or whatever. Note that this is the second time you mentioned El Paso. This is the second time that the New York Times has been edited by an outraged public. After El Paso, they came out with a headline that said Trump urges unity versus racism, and the left just went ballistic.
That's right.
And made them change the headline, which they did, to Trump takes on terrorism but not guns or some such thing.
That's the other side.
The other side,
showing
but now,
their outrage.
But now they're caught in a place they just don't. Assailing hate but not guns was the headline they changed it to. This is a paper that has proven itself to be ideological. They have left journalism behind.
Sure.
Dan Baquet, the editor there, had a meeting when they realized that the Trump-Russia thing wasn't going to be Trump down. How are we going to bring this president down? Well, we're going to start talking about climate change. We're going to start talking about all these things. This is how we're going to plan to undermine the current president of the United States. That was the point of the meeting. That's what the point of the New York Times is these days.
Right.
Yeah. And the left, they do distort the truth to drive their political agenda. Maybe that happens on the right sometimes too. I don't know. But I know, for example, am I hearing the music yet?
No.
Okay. For example, President Obama and his administration, remember when we had the shooting at Fort Hood?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what was it, Hassan was the guy's name?
Nadel Hassan.
Okay, he went on that rampage at Fort Hood, killed a bunch of people, and it was clear that he was doing it because he was a jihadi.
Right.
Right.
He wanted to please Allah, right?
Yes.
Well, President Obama, and I'm not laughing because that was a funny thing. I'm laughing because President Obama said it was workplace violence.
That was the official report of the Justice FBI, Department.
Yeah, the FBI. So they, again, let's, if it's motivated by Islamic Jihad, let's ignore the ideology.
Right.
Right? Let's just call it, what can we call it? Workplace violence. Had that, again, been a white nationalist, you think they would have changed it to workplace violence?
Absolutely not.
The only news you can trust is from One News Now. That's all
there
I got
to
say.
There you go. And how do you get there?
OneNewsNow.com.
All right.
Thank you, Steve.
Bet, my pleasure.
Ed, thanks. Brent, thanks. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.